Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your host on Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as an hour-long dramatic television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you have all been cleared to know the truth. And the truth is that we still have not gotten any new episodes for Season 2 yet, but we are back with our Summer Spectacular Number 2. Welcome back, Josh.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I hear you're... I don't want to say that you're becoming like a villain or anything like that, but you're getting some body mods done. I heard you had some new Deathlock hardware installed.
Yes, I was called up to Level 8, and they were going to install some pieces of metal in my body.
Oh, wow.
As a test.
So it's Agent Josh, Agent of Chomps, Chomps.
Yes. How'd you know? That's you're not cleared to know that.
I saw it on the internet.
Yes, that's right. They've installed some metal in my mouth, which will hopefully help to fight off Hydra. And also to give me a winning smile.
Oh,
I'm hoping
nice.
That's it. So yeah, I am an adult who now has braces on my teeth.
You don't mind if I call you Jaws, do you?
I do not. Matter of fact, I would prefer that. I even asked them. They asked me if I wanted to get the clear ones or the colored ones, and I said, "Can you make me look like Jaws from James Bond?"
from what is that? Moonraker and what was it? Spy Who Loved Me?
Not the Spy Who Loved Me. That was Sean Connery. I don't know. I'm gonna have to go back. Moonraker for sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Definitely a couple other Roger Moore ones.
Well, we'll definitely not be discussing Roger Moore unless he does happen to make a cameo on the show, which I doubt that. We do have some news about the premiere date of Season 2, as well as a lot of information from San Diego Comic-Con and some other discussion topics here that we found out that we wanted to share with everyone this month. So why don't you join us?
Okay.
Okay. So Season 2...
Are you talking to me? I'll join you.
Yeah. You can come along, too. That's fine.
Awesome.
Just don't touch anything.
Okay.
don't drool on the equipment or anything like that. So.
I've got my towel here, so.
Okay. So we got word, I guess this came up prior to San Diego Comic-Con, but Season 2 will be premiering on September 23rd, which is a Tuesday, and they will be at their new time slot of 9 p.m., so... people who are wanting to watch some of the other new shows that are coming out, like maybe The Flash, that'll be on at 8 on another channel, and then ABC will have S.H.I.E.L.D. on at 9 now. Now, as near as I can figure, I haven't seen actual confirmation on this, just an offhand remark by Clark Gregg, but it looks like they will be doing 22 episodes again for Season 2. That kind of seems like a safe bet, you know, not doing an extra one or one less or anything like that. They're
right.
Probably going to split it about 10 episodes and then 12 episodes. Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to be 10 episodes back to back. There may be a couple breaks in there. They're definitely going to have to do a break for Thanksgiving, because I think that's just standard protocol. But they're going to try to do less breaks than they did before. When they hit that winter break, they are going to then fill the gap. For 8 weeks, we will not have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
but it's not going to feel like a big break.
No, it's not going to feel like a big break, because we're going to have Agent Carter in the meantime, and it's going to be 8 episodes. We do know that is going to be 8 episodes. So between the winter finale and the spring premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we will get Agent Carter. So I think we will be here talking about her as well, so people shouldn't feel like we've gone anywhere at all. So,
Yeah, yeah. But it really, I think this is going to feel like kind of an extended season, like a bonus season for S.H.I.E.L.D. Even though it will be different characters, it's very closely related to the universe. And to me, it all is just one big universe. The movies, S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So even the digital comics, which we'll be talking about. So
yeah, it's like an extra third of a season we're getting, so that's pretty cool. I'm very excited to see what they've got for us, and we've got some news later on in the show here, so we'll come back to that.
Well, speaking of Clark Gregg and Coulson, to be specific, you know, a lot of people are wondering if he's going to be in Avengers Age of Ultron in next May, right?
Next May,
in 2015.
Yep.
So, probably it turns out he is not going to be in Avengers 2. You know, and part of the reason that they are saying probably not is because they don't want to resolve his story too quickly. And really, to me, it feels like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Coulson's story. Well, there's a lot of other side things going on, of course.
I thought it would be cool if they could kill him again in Avengers 2. And then, like, basically, he's like Kenny in every Avengers movie. He has to die.
Like right as he finds out exactly everything that happens and why.
I understand,
and then somebody
now.
Like, and then he just dies again.
It's full of stars.
a big giant iron safe just falls on his head.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why they probably don't want to, and that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, you can use the series to tell his story and not have to have it dictated by the schedules of the movies,
mm-hmm.
Because it really is, because since it's all one big universe and it's connected to the movies, they had some difficulty aligning the storyline to the movie universe, you know, and that's part of the reason why the first half of the first season seemed to drag a little bit. But
yeah.
And that's just speculation, of course. But also, it has been said that the connections that are being made to the Kree,
mm-hmm.
you know, with speculation that it might be the Kree here,
right? The alien in the incubator thing,
right? Right, that it would be much better if it connected to Thanos, which is supposedly going to be the third Avengers, which
really?
I'm assuming is called Avengers 3, Coulson's Revenge, right?
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great title, because, of course, he'll be Director S.H.I.E.L.D. by that point, so he will be probably very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would argue he already is. Yes, that's why they made a whole show around him. But,
well,
but so anyway, that was announced that he's not going to be in the second one, most likely. You know, I guess they could still put him in a cameo, or even maybe the little post credits.
Oh right, yeah, like a little post credit scene.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've had him in a number of interviews, and I'm totally happy. I mean, I'd be totally happy that he doesn't even show up, because he gets basically 22 hours a year to be on TV, you know, so that works out pretty well. But what we're pretty sure is that Nick Fury and Maria Hill will be in the Avengers, just based on the fact that they were at the San Diego Comic-Con panel as part of the Avengers panel. So, I mean, that kind of makes – well, at least Maria Hill makes sense. She's working for Tony now, supposedly, based on the events after Captain America 2. Nick, I mean, he's kind of gone off on his own, but it's easy for him to show up, I guess. So we'll see what happens. And who knows what's going to be up with S.H.I.E.L.D. as an organization by the time Avengers 2 rolls around, because the TV series will probably be wrapping up season 2 just around the time that Avengers 2 opens in May. So
that's right. So actually, this is a really good. I don't know if they'll do this, but it's a really good opportunity for the TV show to kind of dictate where the movie starts.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the movie's been planned for a long time, and they've been filming it. But that would be a great way to lead up to the movie. and a good way to kind of, I don't know, maybe grab some fans of the movies toward the end of the season there, you know, if they use that to promote it.
I think that would be great. I mean, it's I can definitely see any aftermath of the movie dictating where season three of the show would go. So I would kind of like to, like you said, kind of like to see season two maybe springboard the direction that the movie starts in, one way or the other. The other thing, and I think we might have mentioned this before, there had been rumors, and you know how the rumors are surrounding all sorts of stuff in Hollywood. It's, you know, you can never really trust a lot of stuff that gets said out there. But there were rumors that on the Avengers set, that Agent Triplett, the actor that plays Agent Triplett, who is totally blanking on his name right now. Anyway, he was seen on set. And so people were like, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, he's going to have a cameo in the movie. So I've been doing a lot of weird thinking about just the interconnectedness of the universe. We got Guardians of the Galaxy now out in theaters and all the cool stuff that that brings to the universe, that, you know, the places where we might be able to go. And I started thinking, what if they are not shooting scenes for the movie with Agent Triplett? What if they are shooting scenes for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with actors from the movie and locations from the movie?
Oh, I like that. I like both of them, actually, if they could kind of both overlap a little bit. They've done it with other agents.
I mean, it'd be a great way for them to get Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, they... See? Yes, this is what I mean by using the TV and the movie universes a little bit more intertwined there. That's a cool, but they've done it with other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents,
right? Agent Sitwell was one that's made the crossover as well, but I don't know, they're we really didn't know those characters, or they introduced them in one of those little shorts, the little Marvel
right.
one shots or something like that, and then brought them on this show. And so I don't know, it seems kind of different with a character that's brand... It'd be like, you know, Sky all of a sudden showing up in the movie, because that's not where they started out.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's a little different.
To me, the gravitas of having a film character come down to TV, it's like, well, they're bigger than life and they're coming down to do TV, but having the TV character step up to the movie, that seems, to me, it seems like it's a bigger deal for whatever reason.
Yeah. And if they can use them together, that would be great. That B.J. Britt, by the way, is who
B.J. Britt
plays.
Thank you.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. So we got that to look forward to. I'm sure we can speculate on that as the season gets started. We'll see what's going on. Having spoken about San Diego Comic-Con, S.H.I.E.L.D. was all over San Diego just prior to the Comic-Con. The trains that are running down in the San Diego area, they're like, I don't even know what kind of trains you call those. Is the ones that have the...
Like a light rail?
Yeah, it's like a light rail, I guess. Yeah, it's got the electrical wires above it and everything. They skinned them with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Logos, and they are using that Hydra / S.H.I.E.L.D. logo that we were seeing from some of the artwork at the end of the first season here, and it had the tagline S.H.I.E.L.D. Rises on it, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is cool.
You didn't get a chance to go out to San Diego, correct?
I did not, no.
Okay. So, I was talking to some people. Once I had posted something about this, or I had said something on Twitter, people were like, oh, I got to go, you know, keep an eye out for that. But I didn't hear much, because once the show started, that was pretty much, you know, drowned out. That was like the least important.
Yeah, I heard it was a huge Comic-Con this year, it seemed like. Not in terms of, like, number of people and stuff. It's always really big, but just the news that came out of it was really – I don't know if it was just more interesting to me this year. It certainly was to all of our podcasts that, you know, I mean, there was a lot of news for us to kind of share and speculate on. But, yeah, it sounded like it was a really good time this year.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of news about the DC universe, the Marvel universe, in terms of – both comics and movies and TV shows, because DC's got much more of a stake in TV. I mean, they've got four DC's got 4 television shows on. Marvel's just going to have the 2 with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. But I think Marvel kind of won the day with their Avengers and Ant-Man panel, and I think people were really disappointed they didn't get more information about that. But what they gave the fans, I think, was a lot. And there was a lot of stuff from – there was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel that they had, and there was a lot of great information that was given in that as well.
Yeah, they had nice stuff for us to kind of think about and speculate and get hyped up. And the hype is my favorite part. I know some people aren't as into the hype as the actual content, but I like that they started off by what was it, Hall H? Was that where it was? Hall H. They had a little video introduction, little mm-hmm. teaser. It was featuring Patton Oswalt as Agent Koenig. However, this was Agent Billy Koenig, just to be clear, because of course you know that Agent Eric Koenig suffered a gruesome fate at the hands of, I'm assuming, Ward. It seemed apparent that it was Ward. So he talked for a while about, Comic-Con type stuff, and then they started getting into S.H.I.E.L.D. things. And then he was interrupted by none other than Patton Oswalt as Agent Sam Koenig.
Wait, a third one.
A third Koenig.
And he did both of them did the lanyard speech, basically, or parts of it.
Yes. I already did that. So it was a fun little snippet of film, by Patton Oswalt. It was actually like almost 5 minutes long, as an introduction. So
I think the best part was where he was asking the audience to shout something at him, and he's like, "I can't hear you." No, seriously, I can't hear you. I'm like pre-recorded, so there was no possible way I could hear you. So
that's very, just, very very Patton Oswalt there.
Yes.
But they did. Tease or give us a little hint of at least one thing coming up from season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Two.
Jeez, I'm so confused. There's 3 Koenigs. There's 2 seasons.
Okay.
So do you want to share that, or do you want me to tell about?
No, go ahead.
This one. Okay. Well, he said that he got a call from Bobby. And okay. Bobby Morse, who is known in the comics as Mockingbird.
Awesome. Very
exciting. So, and he was very excited about that call, too. Did she ask about me?
I can't. One of them was, saying that you weren't trying to pretend to be me, were you? It's like, I think she can tell the difference between the two of us.
Yeah. I think that was Patton Oswalt that said that. Pretty sure. But I was paying attention. So.
But that's exciting news. That'll lead to potentially great tie-in for future Avengers, either visiting this show or having these characters visit the Avengers.
Now, I don't know too much about Mockingbird, so I'm looking forward to kind of
awesome.
Digging into that and learning about her.
So in the same way that Hawkeye is to Green Arrow, Mockingbird is to Black Canary.
Oh, okay.
So that should be – it's like a one-to-one. In the comics, I think she started off as like a model or something. I don't know. But she's
this has potential.
S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She is – she usually uses staves or staves to fight with. Not nunchucks, but like individual batons that she has for each hand, or she can make one giant.
Oh, like – now in my son's karate, they call those a screama sticks.
Yeah, I guess they look – they don't really – I mean, in the comics, I can't really tell because sometimes she also has it as a battle staff.
Okay.
Like they hook together. But, yeah, they could mm-hmm. be screamer sticks. So she's worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. She's dated Hawkeye. She's married Hawkeye. She's the ex-wife of Hawkeye. She's died. She's come back to life. All sorts of cool stuff. But the big thing is that she's tied in with Hawkeye. So that's kind of the most important thing. Like when you think of it's like Mockingbird and Hawkeye. That's the pairing. So I think that could be really cool because it might mean that we'd get to see Clint Barton back on the show, which I think would be really cool to have him visit for part of a week.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So
well, like I said, I'm looking forward to kind of learning more about that. And in the video with Patton Oswalt, he said Bobby said she was in. She'll stand with S.H.I.E.L.D. So
yes.
So that was good news.
Now they have any actress announced for this character yet, and it made it sound like she's going to be on the show, but it wasn't like then Jeff Loeb coming out saying, "Yep, well, we're going to have this character on the show." So right now it's just speculation. They just used this character's. They didn't even say Mockingbird. They just said Bobby Morse, and let the fans kind of go nuts with that. So I think it's a pretty good suspicion that she will be joining the team or guesting on the show in the same way that Victoria Hand did. Something along those lines would be my guess as to the magnitude of the cameo.
Yeah.
So
that works out pretty well, actually. I mean, we don't need anybody else on the team except Agent Triplett. So I think it's good to have little cameos like that. I hope they don't kill her off or anything. I hope she can come back and stick around for other ones, or I hope they don't make her, some insane mega Deathlock villain like other cameos we've had.
Right. I mean, I hope they kind of keep true to the character and that they, do something where they can continue to bring the character back and not kill her off and stuff. But we do have some other characters that they did confirm. Now, prior to San Diego Comic-Con, it was announced that Lucy Lawless, Xena, the warrior princess, would be joining the show. It's been, like 20 years since she was on Xena, but that's still how we identify her. She's done a ton of stuff since
then.
Well,
we could identify her as Spartacus, if you'd rather.
Oh, okay. Was she on Spartacus?
Yes, she was.
Oh, okay. So
all
she
of her
joins
was on
the,
Spartacus.
So like the people that were on Arrow, the Al Ghul, the leader of the League of Assassins, she was on Spartacus,
uh-huh.
And so
yes,
was,
she was
Deathstroke.
Yeah, actually, she played a major role. Lucy Lawless played a major role on Spartacus.
She's also a Cylon on Battlestar Galactica, so we could refer to her as Cylon.
I'd forgotten about that.
Six or something like that. I can't remember.
All right.
Where she was.
Anyway, well, but who's she going to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So, we didn't know for the long time, but then at the panel they announced that she is going to be playing a character named Isabel Hartley, which, when it comes to just like random recent S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, I don't know too much about them. So, they just said she's a tough character. She knows Coulson and has worked with him before, so we'll see a little bit more about her as the show goes on. I don't know that she's really tied into any pre-existing character. She may be similar to some characters that have been in the Marvel Universe, but I don't know that there was actually a character named Isabel Hartley or not. So
I couldn't find any connection with that name. And all the Marvel Cinematic Universe wiki, all it says is a longtime agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. who always has a knife by her side. That's it.
Okay.
So
that
well,
may have been something
we'll
that was in one
her.
Of the press releases then. So,
well, the thing about this character then, and even just Lucy Lawless being the actor, is that she could be something that is a recurring role. I mean, if they're creating something entirely new, I don't think they would do that just for a small cameo.
No, I mean, it sounds like it is going to be a semi-reoccurring role on this season. As someone that's going to be working with Coulson to reinstate S.H.I.E.L.D. So she may be taking over kind of like as a potentially like a second in command for S.H.I.E.L.D. in the same way like Maria Hill was to Nick Fury. So,
oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. But
well, I've always liked Lucy Lawless. I mean, she's a such a strong female presence as an actress in every character she plays. That I'm really looking forward to having her on this. Plus, she's really good looking.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I think she's going to bring a lot to the show. And again, when they have these kind of recurring guest stars on the show, it can't help but with the name recognition for fans, it's like, oh, I like Lucy Lawless. Maybe I'll check out the S.H.I.E.L.D. show and see what this is about. So I think they're probably good moves for the show, but they're also good moves to get. To get the viewer base expanded upon as well.
Oh, totally agree. Yeah, and Lucy Lawless, and I'm not trying to be stereotypical or anything here, but Lucy Lawless is a big has a big female fan base, especially when she was on Xena. I know she it was a real strong female fan base, which would be really good to get on S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, in any kind of comic book story, movie thing. It's I believe that it's really positive to have a strong female presence. That's why I like Black Widow a lot, too.
Yep. I mean, I think this show's done a good job with providing good, strong female characters. I mean, I think there's a lot more it could do, you know, because there's S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of a boys' club and stuff like this, but we've had Sif, got Agent May. I think Sky is getting there. I think Simmons has, you know, had a great arc over the first season. We really saw her evolve and kind of step
up. The three women on the team, am I right? Three women? Yeah, three women on the team.
Yeah.
They're all strong characters, but they're different. You know, it's not just physically strong and powerful. It's they have a variety of skill sets. So they got, you know, science skills, nunchuck skills, you know, bow staff skills, things like that. So.
I like this. Call it a liger. very nice. So, but they didn't stop there. They had two other characters that they announced, and not only did they announce these characters, but they also said who was going to be playing them. So the first one is a he's a British character who has been in Captain America and Captain Britain comics, and he's worked with S.H.I.E.L.D., but his job in the Marvel Universe is working for Strike, which is the British counterpart to S.H.I.E.L.D., and his name is Lance Hunter. And so I'm hoping they actually cast a Brit for this, but because I didn't look up the actor's bio here, but Nick Blood will be playing him. I'm not familiar with his body of work, but he will be joining the show in some part as a mercenary, they're calling him. So he's going to be kind of a, I guess, like a go-to guy when they need to get something done and they don't want to get their hands dirty, but they need it done. So they will be going to Lance.
I hope he wears a boulder, like in the old old comics, just to make him identify as British.
You know, because when you hire your mercenaries to go out and, you know, assassinate heads of state or, who you know, clean up Hydra cells or whatever it is they do, you know,
You
don't really want him to stand out, and a bowler just kind of fits right in with whatever's around.
Well, hey, if this was the old days, you know, and S.H.I.E.L.D., if depending on where they came from, that's how they would dress. You know, if this was a 70s S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, and he came from Mexico, he'd have like a S.H.I.E.L.D. sombrero or something. Wasn't there I think it was an old Green Arrow comic where he had like a gathering of archers from all over the world, and they were all very stereotypical to that country. It was pretty bad.
And it's not necessarily racist, just how they did stuff at the time. So
It is. We've learned a lot since then. So anyway, so I doubt he'll have a bowler. I'm sure he'll look very shieldy.
I don't know. Maybe he can just put it on when he's relaxing or something. Anyway, and then this character I'm really interested in, and you may recall from our discussions and readings of Secret Warriors from last month, they will be bringing Daniel Whitehall, who plays a character called the Kraken. Now, there have been a lot of different Krakens in the Marvel Universe. I mean, just searching for Kraken shows a lot of different kind of squid-looking characters and stuff like this. But this particular one is a person, and he wears it looks kind of like crab styled armor. I don't know why he took the moniker the Kraken, I guess, but anyway, he is a killer, a big player with Hydra in the comic books. So presumably he will be one of the villains they will be fighting this season. We'll have to see. And he's going to be played by a guy named Reed Diamond. So Nick Blood and Reed Diamond. Very cool.
Those sound like good comic book names.
Yeah.
By themselves.
Maybe,
you know?
I got this backwards. Maybe it's Nick Blood is being played by Lance Hunter. Maybe that's what it is.
That sounds more appropriate. The Kraken. You can't have a name like the Kraken and be on the good guy team. That's it's got a lot of strong, you know, consonants in it. The K's really do.
Can you smell what the Kraken's putting down? Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring.
Well, and again, not knowing much about Lance Hunter or the Kraken, I'm looking forward to really digging into those characters. And I love that they're taking comic characters and putting them in the show. So we've got to see more of that.
As long as they – I don't want to say stay true because, I mean, it's hard. Like with Agent Sitwell, they just kind of took the guy's name and didn't make him really anything like his comic book counterpart. Which is a little bit disappointing, especially since Sitwell's been around since the beginning. These characters are not as old as, like, Nick Fury or Agent Sitwell or Captain America, you know, in terms of, like, years in the comic, in comic books. Like, the Kraken's, he's only, I don't know, 5 to 8 years old or something like that, I think, this version of him. So there's probably less for them to draw from. But I just don't want, you know, it's like, oh, we got this great name. We're going to take this guy called the Kraken and then, you know, have someone that looks like, you know, Mr. Rogers come out or something like that.
Yeah, and they kind of did that early in the season. Who is the guy with the firepower and ended up blowing himself
Scorch.
Up, supposedly? Scorch, right, Scorch. I think they kind of did that with him. And, you know, they also run the risk of you don't want the villain of the week or the, you know, the comic book character of the week. You don't want... Now, don't get me wrong. I love the old Batman series, you know, the Adam West Batman series. I love it. But you don't want to do that to your series these days. It wouldn't be successful. It wouldn't be, you know, it's not what the audience wants. Right. I like it, but it's not what the general audience wants.
I mean, if it wasn't as campy as that, I wouldn't mind having, you know, different characters show up kind of like they do. But I understand it's even though you have more time each episode of the show, you need to move stuff along, and you can't just be introducing a character every week like that. So.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You can do it like they did with what's his name? Okay, well, I shouldn't have brought that point up because it wasn't on my head. Just take the character and string it out throughout the season, you know, like they did with Bill Paxton.
Oh, right.
Because
John.
That's...
What's his face?
Yeah, John. What's his face? they that was good the way they did that. You know, you really made that character somebody that we can care about as an audience. You know, it wasn't just a throwaway character. So, well, you know, until he got shot at the very until he got shot at the very end. I guess I threw him away pretty quick, but that was
he
a good
still
scene.
Could come back. I'm still saying he's not completely
Dust
gone.
Man.
Well,
disintegrated man.
So, we are, let's see, as this show gets released, we're probably about a month and a half from the beginning of season two. So hopefully they have started working on it here. I would think so.
They have for sure. They have at least started, you know, the writing portion of it and probably more. I guess tweeted out a picture, of the SHIELD writer's room. And so they're getting started on that. That was a while ago that they did that. That was back in early July. I guess it was on their Facebook page, but just kind of a little tease of the writing room. And then, you know, every once in a while, you got to follow the actors' Twitters, every once in a while, you know, Ming-Na, she'll tweet out some pictures. They were doing some selfies and stuff from Comic-Con, so that was always, you know, that was kind of fun. But they'll throw out some little hints here and there that they're at least rehearsing or finding out things about the season, you know, maybe filming schedules and things like that. So so they have gone to the writer's room, and they are – getting started, which is good.
Well, let's hope that now that they've kind of built up, I feel like they built up that momentum and it's now kind of petered out, because unlike some other shows that have been kind of teasing us with what they're going to be doing on their next season, pretty much throughout the summer, like, you know, if you listen to our Arrow podcast, I mean, just stuff just keeps coming and coming and coming. S.H.I.E.L.D., true to form, has not really teased much. I mean, we know there's going to be like three or four characters here. We got this little tease about this other Koenig brother, LMD, I don't know, whatever it is. But we don't know really anything that they're doing with the series. It's like they haven't said, oh, hey, we're going to take the bus and, you know, we're going to go, you know, open up a new office in Tulsa, Oklahoma or something like that. We don't know. That's the thing.
So let me ask you just off the top of my head here. Do you think that the reason they're not doing that versus, say, you know, what we see on Arrow? Arrow comes from the CW. It's a much smaller TV network.
Studio. Network, yeah.
Much smaller studio, much lower budget, I would assume. I mean, I don't know those facts, but I would assume. I mean, it's, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. owned by Marvel, Disney, ABC. I mean, those are all huge. Do you think they just do it because they don't think it's necessary? Because they ramp up? Maybe they have a bigger advertising campaign right before instead of having to stretch out the budget. Do you think that's why?
I don't think it's that they. I don't think it has anything to do with the budget kind of thing. I mean, obviously, I think ABC feels like they may not have to advertise, but S.H.I.E.L.D.'s ratings dropped throughout the entire season.
Yeah, right?
It started
out
really high and it just dropped. It picked up a little bit at the end because there was a lot of buzz about it, but they need to encourage that buzz. And what better way to encourage the buzz, especially on the internet, is by giving your fans tidbits about what's going on. So the fans are excited and then they talk to people who are not necessarily fans. But Marvel and, well, let's just say Marvel Studios, because they are one big interconnected universe. The movies, the TVs, like you said before, all connect. The only thing that they really don't connect with is the comics. The comics are their own thing, and the movies and the TV are something separate. They are not going to be cross-promoting two different things at the same time, because they have been using this entire time since the end of the season to start building their campaign for Guardians of the Galaxy, which is their big summer film. Now that it's out, the advertising for that will die down. What's the next thing? Next thing will be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2. So we'll start seeing some stuff coming for that. And then as that starts to wind down, Avengers 2 will be taking its place. And then Ant-Man later in next year, and then Season 3, presuming Season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So a lot of things that people have speculated is the reason we didn't get more information at Comic-Con about what was coming after Avengers and after Ant-Man is because they're promoting Guardians of the Galaxy right now. They don't want to muddy the waters by telling people what's coming too far ahead because, you know, the public has a really relatively short attention span when it comes to things like, you know, collectively.
Well, you'll forgive my you know, unprofessional opinion, I guess, but I think that's a bad way to do it. I don't think it muddies the waters like you. I agree with you. I think that is why they're doing it, but yeah. I disagree with the fact that they are doing it. I think you can use them both. You can cross promote. I mean, look at, I was trying to think of a good example of when this does happen. I couldn't really come up with anything that good, but you know, I mean, just think of a TV station that has multiple types of shows on it. You know, you think of this is a stupid example, but you know, Nickelodeon doesn't just focus on SpongeBob commercials for 6 months and then not talk about any of their other shows. You know, they have other things that they can promote at the same time. People can multitask.
That's a little different than being a studio that is
right.
You know, so, for example, like you know, 20th Century Fox produces a bunch of movies, right?
Right.
You know, they produce comedies, they produce action films, they produce horror films, they produce sci-fi films. So they all have their individual marketing stuff like this, but right now the push is for Star Wars Episode 7. They're not talking about any of the spin-off movies or anything like that. So, you know, it's like individual silos. It would be like, I mean, I guess it's kind of like a writer promoting the book that he's going to write 2 books from now instead of the book that he's got coming out. I mean, you want to promote what's available now, not be teasing a lot of, you know, spending a lot of energy and media, what do you call it? The, you know, like the media slots, you know, plugging stuff that people can't do anything with at the moment. because it just doesn't make any money.
I agree with what you're saying. I can see why they do that. I think it would be possible because this is a franchise on TV as opposed to the movies. I think they could do both. I mean, that's just my opinion. However,
I think they could too, just because I want to see more. So,
yeah. Well, but the other thing I was going to say real quick, and then we can move on. But the way that other franchises do it, and I'll go back to Arrow again because we're connected to that. It's almost kind of like a grassroots kind of thing. They're using that social media to do it. And I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could really – I think they could use that in a valuable way because it is on TV. So you got the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, which looks amazing, and I will have seen it by the time this show comes out. But it is kind of movie hype. You know, you'll see that everywhere. Let's put a lot of the social media stuff on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, keep those Twitter things coming. Keep those little hints on the official Facebook page. And that'll keep it in people's mind and give it little hints here and there just to tease us.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great idea. I mean, again, I'd just love to know more little teases about, you know, titles of episodes even, or, you know, if they – tweeted like, here's a quick picture from the set, you know, something like that.
And yeah. Little stuff like we got at Comic-Con. That would be good.
Yeah.
More often.
It's they just have a different way of doing it, and we'll see if it can continue to be successful, because once the series starts, I'm sure we'll be hearing stuff more frequently. It's just, they're just kind of keeping a lid on it right now. So that's fine. So another thing that we saw within the last month here is that website moviepilot.com has a list of five things that they think should be in season two. So I kind of wanted to kind of just go over these and discuss them a little bit. We still got a few things to talk about after that, but I think this is some interesting ideas. My take is that Movie Pilot was trying to reach for some bigger things that they could put on their list, which I don't really think are feasible in terms of the show. But let's talk about them, and we can see what.
All right, well, you run down the list, and I'll tell you how much I think they should focus on it.
Okay, so the first thing they've got, the one that they've got listed at number one, which I don't know if it's just in order here, but anyway, it's number one is The Truth About Sky. So basically, let's get on and find out what's so mysterious about this character.
Okay. I don't know that we need to see the truth, but I would. I don't know we need to see the entire truth, but I would like to see where it's leading. Let's change her a little bit. You're going to give her powers? Give her some powers, or have her start developing those powers,
right?
Or something like that.
Where she got those, or why? Plot along.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Where she got them? How she got them? I don't even need that.
Right.
You know, maybe by the end, I guess, of the season, maybe, but. It's
she
not that important.
A bad latte just... or something like that at the at that coffee shop.
Good, good latte.
Okay, this next one is Deathlok's Return. So Mike Peterson kind of went off and did his own thing. He got his boy back, got his boy freed, but not really back with him. So what do you think about them continuing stuff with Mr. Lok?
Mr. Lok. not necessary. I wouldn't mind it, but it's not necessary. I think they've got plenty of other things they can focus on, and I don't know that they really need Deathlok.
I mean, you don't really need Deathlok, but, I mean, he's cool to have around. I mean, definitely, I think Coulson would be doing a good service to try to get Mike working with them in this new capacity of rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. because
like a little freelance S.H.I.E.L.D. work, yeah. Is that?
Well, I mean, think about this. So Hydra is still out there. I mean, there are probably lots of little, I don't know, the best, you know, like cells, right? Splinter cells or whatever, you know.
Just sure.
People that were loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D., but now are no longer loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D., and like Agent Koenig was saying, you know, Bobby Morse would stand with S.H.I.E.L.D. So Coulson's going out there trying to find people that will stand with S.H.I.E.L.D. and also probably looking to find people that were with S.H.I.E.L.D., and if they are not loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, shutting them down, whatever that entails. And if those people are Hydra, they're definitely going to have access to a lot of tech of some kind, you know, varying levels of tech. And I think Coulson would do well to have a character like Deathlok and his side.
Okay. How about this? Somewhere either mid-season finale or season finale-ish, it starts to look really dark. You know, the storyline is looking dark. They're really having struggles. And all of a sudden, they bring in a group of people that they've helped in the past that owe them, or a group that's loyal to them or something. So this is when you could bring in your, you know, your Mockingbird. This is where you could bring in your Lance Hunter. This is where you could bring in your Deathlok, all because they, you know, they've introduced them one at a time here and there. And then at the end, they all come in as a group. Be a great way for Deathlok to come help.
That would be cool. I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, that'd be neat. Okay. The third thing that Movie Pilot has is Winter Soldier cameo. What do you think about that?
I think that's awesome. I think that'd be great.
Really?
Good way to lead into
it, man. I'm going to say,
really?
I want to hear your argument for this one.
I don't really have an argument. I like the Winter Soldier.
Awesome.
I like the Winter Soldier and I, you know, it'd be a good way to kind of keep that storyline moving along and then maybe have him show up in Captain America 3, unless they've already got that planned out or something. But
I feel like he's questioning his past, and he's, you know, he's trying to hide, and having him show up as S.H.I.E.L.D.'s being rebuilt would just, I don't know, it seems I'm kind of too pat, I guess. It needs to be where he just goes away, like he disappears again, like, Bucky was gone. Everybody just like, oh, where'd he go? I don't know. And so, you know, Captain America and the Falcon have to go, you know, hunt him down or something like that. I don't see it, him showing up on the show fitting, I guess, in what I think the way season two would be. Now, if you told me at the beginning of the season, oh yeah, Sif's just going to show up on the show, I'd be like, okay, I don't know how that's going to work. And that turned out pretty cool. So, I don't know. But
if they can fit him in where it doesn't feel forced, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But if they're just putting him in there for, you know, character of the week kind of thing, no, I don't want him to do that.
Maybe they go and
they
travel around each week to different parts of the country, you know, looking to find new agents for S.H.I.E.L.D. And they stumble upon like a trucker conference where they're having like an arm wrestling match or something like that. And he's, you know, up against, you know, the big hulking dude, and you know, he just wins because he's got that bionic arm.
Do they have those? They have trucker conferences where they do arm wrestling. That sounds cool.
I think it's called Tap Out. Was that the movie?
Was that with Sylvester Stallone? No,
yeah.
Over the Top, wasn't it?
Over the top.
Yeah, Over the Top.
Anyway, okay. So let's get back to the list. Number four is let an episode take place after Guardians of the Galaxy. Seeing that the movie Guardians of the Galaxy is probably not going to take place anywhere near the planet Earth, I'm pretty sure all episodes will take place after Guardians of the Galaxy, so I don't really...
Yeah, I'm not sure why that's relevant.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to tie it into a movie that will clearly be successful.
Yeah, you think? it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes the other day. It's now dropped down to about 91%, but...
Oh, man.
Doing pretty well.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either. And then number five, Ultron should appear on the show.
Again, if they could do it in a way that didn't seem forced, you know, it all kind of depends on how Age of Ultron is going to start. Because it seems to me like to set up that movie, they're going to have to show how Ultron got started, you know, how, and in this case, you know, how Tony Stark developed him.
Right.
So,
I mean, I've heard a number of different rumors about that I'm not going to get into here because I'm sure people don't want to hear any kind of spoiler talk for Age of Ultron. But there are different rumors of different levels of who Ultron is and like how he was created or what he was created to do. And if some of those are factual or accurate, I think there is a possibility for in the last, I don't know, four episodes of the season to have Ultron potentially make a cameo. And like you said, not be forced. It would be something that would fit. And then, like we talked about earlier, it would be a great kind of springboard for us to know more about the backstory. So when we get into the movie, which probably will just, you know, start, you know, it's not just going to start at the start and explain a bunch of stuff. It's just going to go. We'll have a little backstory to satisfy ourselves. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, not a bad little list of things they want. As always, I like when shows go in directions that nobody's thought of. So maybe they've got some secrets up their sleeve.
Right. We've obviously got the mysteries of why is Agent Coulson and writing all this alien language and stuff, and what's up with that. So I think I think Coulson will be a major factor. I'd like to see more about all the other characters, obviously. What happened to Fitz, you know, things like that. They've got stuff that I feel like they need to take care of, but then this is some stuff that I think
would be cool. Ward's going to go. That's got to be a big storyline, so...
There are people online, it's like, never redeem him. Never. Never, ever, ever redeem him. They're just happy to hate him now. It's like, wow.
Hey, if you can come up with a good story to redeem him, go for it. I'm all about story. Redeem him, don't redeem him, I don't care, as long as the story's good.
Right.
But don't get rid of Triplett. I like him. All right. Well, that's a good list and good things to talk about. We have some other stuff that's coming, too. They announced that they're going to have a digital comic for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, this is actually already out now. Uh-huh. This was just like a one-shot. It's really a commercial for Lexus because it's tied in with Lexus. But you can go to Marvel.com and search for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Lexus Presents comic. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it yet. I read it earlier. And it's the first comic that uses the characters from the show. It takes place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, you know, it's all the characters with their TV personalities and stuff like that. It actually takes place after the episode Seeds and right before the episode, I think it was Trax. Trax was the one where that Sky gets shot at the end, right, where Deathlok gets his little leg, I think so, too.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, because that was the one where they were in the Italian, on the train that goes through the Italian countryside and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So they were, so that's this storyline just takes place between these episodes. It gives you a little more information about how they found out about what was going on as they're tracking down different tech and looking at different characters. A little cameo by John Garrett, which was kind of cool. So,
You see, this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about with the hype, you know? I mean, like little stuff like this thrown out throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some product placement in it, but it's good. It's a nice little story, and you know, this reminds me of you know, back in the 70s when in between Star Wars movies, all I had was the comics, the Marvel comics for Star Wars. And it kind of, you know, it keeps it in your mind and it gives you little exciting stories, whether they are, you know, canon or not. And I don't know if this little one shot was. Did they say this was canon? I guess.
Yeah, they said this is supposed to fill in a gap between these two episodes. It's
okay. I guess so.
It takes place in the universe with these characters. So this like is part of the story of season one.
Well, what could even be better than a digital comic book?
But two digital comic books.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on what you like. But
okay.
a published comic book, right?
Wow, that's awesome.
A real one. And that's been announced that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will have their own actual printed comic book.
That is going to be awesome. And what's cool about it is... It's actually introducing – so Coulson and Maria Hill have been in the Marvel – what's called the Marvel 616 universe. That's the main comic book Marvel universe where all the all the superheroes and everybody exist. They've been in that universe for a while, but Fitz and Simmons and Ward and Sky and Agent May have not. So what this is doing is building a team of all those characters, and I think the editor was saying it's kind of like the unlimited budget version where they can have any guest character that they want come on. You know, if they want to have Thor and Spider-Man and Green Goblin or whatever, they can do that. There's nobody that's off limits, and they have unlimited budget, so they can do whatever they want. So this is going to be separate from the TV show, but it's going to contain the personalities of the characters we've come to know on the TV show just interacting with the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I mean, I think it's a really good thing for not just for fans of the show, but kind of for the comic universe. It establishes those TV characters that they just have had for the show now in this comic universe. I don't know. For some reason, it makes it feel a little bit more complete.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you know, just in the comic genre.
Right. That's cool. And it's going to be written by Mark Waid, who is he's
Yay!
Yeah, he's a big time writer. He's been writing Daredevil. I mean, pretty much, he's written probably every superhero for both Marvel and DC at some point.
Yeah, and he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he's also writing a new Star Wars Princess Leia series that's coming out next year. So as Star Wars fans, we've got that to look forward to. And we also found out that Agent Fitz will get his helper monkey in this series. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome. Awesome.
All
right.
We have just a little bit of time left here. Do you want to go over these last little tidbits we got here?
Let's see. So, Agent Carter.
Yeah.
Now, we know that's a separate show, but it, like I said, it all kind of feels like one whole little series here, and this is like a, I don't know, almost like a flashback. They've released some character bios of some of the characters that'll be in that show. So I thought maybe just real quick we could go down the people that they've announced so far.
Sure. Why don't you go? We'll go back and forth on them. We don't have any casting information on these, so we don't know who's going to be playing these characters. But we do have some descriptions.
Okay. So, Deputy Director Roger Hooley. That's the first one. A hardworking, principled older man and Peggy's boss. And Peggy is Agent Carter, right?
Yes, Peggy Carter. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. So, it says he's bothered by ongoing problems in his personal life as well as the challenges of his day job. Hmm. So, you know, I don't know that you could have a successful show of somebody that's stable in their personal life. So
this is a different boss than she had in the Agent Carter one-shot, because she was just kind of working for SSR at the point, and then she got drafted up to come help start S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's interesting. It sounded like she was going to be more in charge based on the end of the one-shot, but here it's saying she's got a boss. So that's not Tony Stark's dad, Howard Stark.
Yeah.
So interesting. We'll see how that
new.
Where that goes. The next one we got is Agent Jack Thompson. He's in his 30s, handsome, and damn well knows it. The polar opposite of Dooley. He doesn't take kindly to women in the workplace, nor how little recognition he gets. Worse, he wants Dooley's job and is desperate to prove himself. This sounds like Mad Men. This is going to be like Mad Men, I bet.
Yeah, well, because of the time period that this story is taking place, you almost have to have somebody in there, a character like this, or it wouldn't seem realistic. But now, it says he damn well knows it. Does he damn well know that he's 30, or does he damn well know that he's handsome?
I think based on the placement of the comma, he's handsome, and he damn well knows it.
Oh, okay, all right. You gotta watch those Oxford commas. Okay. So, all right, yeah. So that sounds like you're a little token woman hater character there for the time period.
Yeah.
But then you have Edward Hutchins. He's a highly professional agent with an unusual problem. He's got this rash. Oh, no, wait. No, his problem is duplicity. He's lying to his wife about what he does to stop worrying, would stop her worrying. True lies S.H.I.E.L.D. style. So I guess he's hiding the fact that he's an agent, I guess it sounds like, huh?
Yeah, so maybe they're getting Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Or he's lying about that rash, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting.
So far, I noticed one thing about all these. These are all male parts. So I guess because you have a female in the title role, basically, you've got to kind of balance it out with a whole bunch of men here. So, because the next one we've got is Daniel Souza, and he is everything Jack Thompson wants to be. Remember, Jack is the one. He's handsome, and he damn well knows it, but Daniel is what Jack aspires to, I guess. He's a war hero who walks using a leg brace but finds dealing with office politics to be harder than working around his injury. Sousa is fiercely honorable, a gentle man, and we're betting he becomes one of Peggy's major allies. So, that's an interesting sort of character there. It's kind of like it almost sounds like Steve Rogers, you know, another Steve Rogers kind of character.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit more of a rugged, wizened kind of character, you know, some like a maybe kind of a quiet loner, and then but you can't mess with him.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like he's quiet. He doesn't stand out much until
he's
you really
like
need him
or
to.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I kind of like that character. That one sounds more interesting to me than any of the other ones so far. Well. You said, you know, you needed a female character, so there's one more here. Angie Martinelli. Okay? Oh. But she's not S.H.I.E.L.D. She's just a waitress.
Okay.
But she dreams of being a singer. So maybe we'll have a musical episode of
awesome.
Agent Carter. but she's a tough, compassionate young woman who is smart and loyal and seems set to be Peggy's anchor to the world away from S.H.I.E.L.D. So you think they're going to do like this, you know, like in Boston Legal at the end, you'll have Peggy and Angie sitting on the back porch, you know, maybe drinking a martini, talking about the lessons of the episode, maybe.
Maybe.
Sitting in a diner, maybe. I don't know.
And we also got some news that at least the first four episodes are going to be directed by different directors from the series. I forget who's doing the first episode, the pilot, but the Russo brothers, who directed Captain America 2, will be directing episodes 2 and 3, and Joe Johnson will be in, who directed Captain America 1. He'll be directing episode number 4 of the series at this point. So, they're not slouching on this. It sounds like they, you know, even though it's 8 episodes, they're really committed to making a good 8 episodes, which is pretty neat. So
good. I hope so.
Looking forward to that. And we'll have to see how this ties in with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Show proper, as we've speculated before that S.H.I.E.L.D. is being rebuilt by Coulson. We're also going to be seeing Agent Carter working to build S.H.I.E.L.D. to kind of turn it from SSR into S.H.I.E.L.D. So I guess we'll just see where that leads. But we still have a few months for this. This won't air until the beginning of January 2015, and will be 8 episodes long. So stay tuned to this this feed to hear more about Agent Carter when and as it happens.
Do you think they'll put little hints or clues or something in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as they go throughout the first half of the season that harken back to the past?
Do you remember
to tie
when,
it in with?
Agent Triplett brought out his granddad's suitcase, and I said,
yes.
You know, all this stuff, you know, there's just so much stuff in there, and it seems like it's a good tease for a potential Agent Carter series should they do it. I think yes. I think we might end up seeing Triplett's granddad. I think we're going to get Coulson's going to run into problems, and he's going to be looking to the past for answers. And, you know, it's going to be looking through files and find out information about cases that they may have had to deal with. They may even do some kind of crossover thing where, you know, there was something that happened in the 40s that the SSR S.H.I.E.L.D. couldn't quite deal with, and it's going to
like a cold case.
And Coulson has to take care of it. Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm just picturing like the mid-season finale, like Coulson will be looking at old files, and all of a sudden it'll be like, but
flashback. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that overt.
I don't think so either.
I think it'd be pretty cool. So that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to the season starting, but I'm only slightly excited at this point because like I was saying, there's just they haven't teased enough stuff. It doesn't have me have my curiosity piqued by going, oh my gosh, they got these people and they got this. I mean, I guess we do have quite a bit of information, but it's just not. It's kind of not the same as what I'm hearing for like Constantine or Gotham or Arrow or The Flash or anything like that. But we'll see.
All right. Well, the closer it gets, I think we'll get more.
Yep. So we probably will be back sometime in September, I'm guessing, for Summer Spectacular number 3. And look forward to us having some other teases for that. But for now, that's all we've got for this month's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Yeah, I got to go adjust the lasers on my braces. I shot myself in the lip a couple times while we were recording. So, so sorry about that. But, hey, if you enjoyed this episode of our Summer Spectacular or of any of our other past episodes, please make sure you leave some feedback for us on iTunes. We really like seeing that positive feedback. You can also get a hold of us by email. You just send us an email at shield@randomchatter.com. Share some of your thoughts with us. And also, you know, share us and retweet us and talk to us on Twitter @AgentsPodcast or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AgentsPodcast.
And also be sure to check out the other show that we do here on the randomchatter.com network, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, which follows the TV show Arrow. We've been doing some summer specials for that, and we'll be returning in October with new episodes from their third season. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. So, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.